Democracy Concepts presents the second of a two-part audio of Porous Hands, part 5 of an 8-part series that discusses fundamental changes to Ghana's democracy. The music is by Kwamina Ray Ellis. We must realize that political parties and politicians are not the solution to our economic problems. But, Grandpa, surely we cannot completely do away with politicians, can we? We may not, I agree. But I think the time has come to question the roles we have given to politicians in the development of our national economy. Our political parties and politicians do not deserve the importance we've accorded them in the development of our nation. Grandpa, that was a vicious punch you just delivered. Are you being fair to our political parties and politicians? You talk about fairness. Do you, my son? Where is the fairness when politicians and political parties mismanage the economy and get away with it? Is it fair to the millions of our people who have always looked to political parties to improve their livelihoods, but have always been disappointed? Tell me, my son, tell me. Okay, you have a point, Grandpa. Yes, and I will say more. It is time to question the exclusive power you've given to political parties and politicians to act as an all-in-one coach, player and referee in our national economy. They have shown by their performance that they do not deserve to be in that role. My son, this may not be pleasant to hear, but that is the truth. Okay, Grandpa, granted that our politicians do not deserve the important role we have given to them in the development of this nation's economy, what can we do about it in practical terms? That's not difficult at all, my son. If you give someone a job to do and he fails to do it to your satisfaction, what do you do, huh? Well, you may give him training to improve his performance, or give him a different job, one that he can do well, or sack him. Excellent. So you've answered your own question. Have I, Grandpa? We just agree that we may not be able to completely do away with politicians. Well, if you can't sack them, give them a different job, one they can do well. Isn't that what you said? Okay, I'm beginning to see your point. You are suggesting that we change the roles political parties play in the development of our nation. Exactly that, my son. Why keep them in the same roles when they have shown that they cannot improve our economy? Okay, Grandpa, your point is well made, but which new roles do you envisage for politicians? My son, tell me, what roles do they play in our nation's development? They are in charge of everything, Grandpa. Yes, but be specific. We need to isolate the different roles politicians play. Okay, I understand. Political parties and politicians are supposed to devise development plans, implement those plans, and monitor performance. I think that is what they are expected to do in a nutshell. Great, that's exactly so. Now tell me, which of these functions have they played very well? Let me reason this out, Grandpa. If they planned and executed well, then we should have seen great improvement in our economy. And if they monitored well, then all the shoddy work we see around will be greatly minimized. Grandpa, I don't think politicians play any of the three major roles well enough. Great. In that case, we can decide which roles to assign them, can't we? I guess so, Grandpa. So which roles do you suggest we give to them? I think we should take the planning of our economy away from political parties and politicians. That leaves two roles, Grandpa. We should also not allow them to monitor our development. I am surprised about that one, Grandpa. I thought we were going to suggest that we take away the implementation. No, we should allow them to implement, because then we can tell them what we want them to do and monitor their performance. So, Grandpa, if I understand you correctly, you are suggesting that political parties and politicians should only be allowed to implement development plans of this nation, right? Exactly, my son. And who will do the planning and monitoring? Obviously, you and I do not have the capacity. The state must take charge of those two roles. Remember, the Constitution expressly charges the management of our economy to the state. The state, that amounts to leaving things in nobody's hands. The status pass. No, you misunderstand me. You need to give those roles to a state institution that has the capacity to plan and monitor the nation's development. And which institution do you have in mind, Grandpa? My son, you surely know about the NDPC. What's its full name? I think it is the National Development Planning Commission. Yes, that's it. You should give them those roles to play. Haha, Grandpa, that is a non-starter. What has the NDPC done over the years? And that institution is as old as the Constitution. You are right. But let's not rush to pass judgment. Let's go step by step, my son. Okay, Grandpa. So why do you think the NDPC must be made to plan and monitor our economy? My son, did you know that this nation has a law that spells out how the development of the nation should be planned? It is called the National Development Planning System Act, Act 480. This law has been in existence since 1994. Hey, Grandpa, you are now a lawyer. You are full of surprises. I am serious, my son. That law prescribes a decentralized system for planning the development of this nation. But, Grandpa, we are talking about the NDPC, and you suddenly jump onto this law. Where does the NDPC come in? That law makes the NDPC the National Coordinating Body for the Decentralized Planning System. Oh, I see. But if the NDPC is the coordinating body, then it cannot be given the role of planning the nation. It only means that the responsibility for planning lies with other bodies. You have a point there, Minsan. Indeed, under this law, planning is to be done at the district, regional, and national levels. And which bodies are involved at these levels, Grandpa? The responsibility at the district levels falls on the metropolitan, municipal, and district assemblies. At the regional levels, it falls on the regional coordinating councils. And at the national level, on the government ministries, departments, and agencies, as well as the NDPC. If that's the case, Grandpa, how can you recommend that we give the NDPC the sole responsibility to plan this nation? You see, my son, the law gives the NDPC the authority to set the development guidelines for the nation. All the planning done by the planning bodies is required to conform with these guidelines. Besides, it is the body that is required to put all the decentralized plans into a national development plan and monitor the fiscal development to ensure that they conform to the approved plan. I see. I didn't know that such a law existed. Now you know. You can go and look for it to satisfy yourself. I had a copy of that law, but I don't know where I've kept it. But there's also something in the Constitution about that. Find it. Grandpa, let me look for the section on the NDPC. Yes, it's here. It's Article 86. Should I start from the beginning? Read a section on the functions of the NDPC that talks about multi-year rolling plans. Okay, Grandpa. Those are found under Article 87.2b and 87.2e. Read those two sections, my son. Okay, Grandpa. Article 87.2b. The Commission shall make proposals for the development of the multi-year rolling plans, taking into consideration the resource potential and comparative advantage of different districts of Ghana. Article 87.2e. Monitor, evaluate, and coordinate development policies, programs, and projects. So, there you have it. The Constitution also gives the NDPC those roles to perform. Okay, that's clear enough, Grandpa. But my question is, why hasn't the NDPC done that over the years, when it has always been their constitutional duty? You ask why? It's because the politics of this nation has rendered it ineffective. The NDPC, rendered ineffective by politics, how? It should be pretty obvious, my son. Like many state institutions in this country, the NDPC has become a tool of the political party ruling at any point in time, rather than as an instrument of the state. The mandate of this institution has been completely stifled in this way. I still don't understand, Grandpa. And what don't you understand, huh? How politics can stifle the activities of the NDPC. Okay, let me give you an insight into this. Tell me, when the political parties are seeking power, what document do they always refer to? Document. Which document are you referring to, Grandpa? That document that contains all the promises they make during their campaigns. Oh, I see what you mean, Grandpa. Are you referring to their manifestos? Exactly, my son. Political party manifestos have completely supplanted national development plans, which the NDPC is mandated to prepare. Oh, so you are saying that political parties are more interested in pursuing their manifestos, and that has stifled the NDPC? Isn't that the case, my son? Since the ruling political party at any time is only interested in pursuing its manifesto, the government will ensure that the NDPC does its bidding. It's that simple. But Grandpa, that amounts to breaking the law. If while pursuing their interest, our political parties completely set aside the law on the development of this nation. You can say that again, my son. And if you ask me, they must be made to explain. I remember that there was once a plan called Vision 2020 and later Vision 2015. When those prepared by the NDPC, and what happened to those plans? Nothing. And you know why? Those so-called visions were in reality glorified political party manifestos. They had no national character, so the inevitable happened to them. The inevitable? How do you mean, Grandpa? Since they were political party-sponsored plans, they were doomed to certain death, left to rot on the shelves of political spite. So, Grandpa, how can we give the tasks of planning and monitoring the development of this country to the NDPC, an institution that is stifled by politics? How can it perform? Excellent question, my son. But you must answer that question yourself. If politicians are stifling the NDPC such that they cannot fulfill its mandate, what must be done to get it to perform? Are you suggesting that we free the NDPC from political interference? Is that it, Grandpa? Exactly. The NDPC should be freed from political strangulation. All political party tentacles that have bound the NDPC and turned it into a tool for political party purposes must be cut. The NDPC must be set free to carry out its constitutional mandate. Agreed, Grandpa. But how are we going to achieve that? The first thing we must do is to make the NDPC responsible to the State Council rather than to the President. Then we must kick out all political appointees and political party hangers-on from that place. Not only that, my son. The structure of the NDPC needs to change. There should be no presidential appointees on the NDPC. Only technocrats and experts from various sectors of the economy. Very interesting, Grandpa. The NDPC should spearhead Ghana's development agenda as required by law, without any political let or hindrance. It should, Grandpa. I think we have departed from that to our detriment. Say it again, my son. Our political parties have harmed this nation while pursuing their political interests. That is very sad indeed. My son, if you asked me, I would recommend that all the planning and monitoring functions in the districts, regions, government ministries, departments and agencies should be placed under the direct authority of the NDPC. And why is that, Grandpa? Greater control, my son. It will give the NDPC greater control. Let me understand something, Grandpa. Are you saying that if I'm a planning officer at the Ministry of Health, for example, I should be reporting to the chief executive of the NDPC and not to the sector minister? Not only that, you should receive your salary from the NDPC, my son. That sounds a little complicated, Grandpa. Don't you think so? It is necessary to do this to ensure that the National Development Planning System, though decentralized, is held together by a strong center. So, Grandpa, if the planning and monitoring functions are placed under the direct authority of the NDPC, what will be left for the government ministries, departments and agencies to do? They will have the implementation role to play, and that is what they must do. They should serve as agents of the executive government to implement the development policy of the state. Okay, that is fine. So let's say that the NDPC puts together a national development plan. What should happen to the plan that is prepared, Grandpa? Those plans should be the blueprint for national development. Every government should be obliged to follow that blueprint. Okay, but how would our governments follow that blueprint? Any long-term plan has targets and timeframes, don't they? Oh, so the challenge for any government would be to achieve targets set in the blueprint during its term in office. Exactly, my son. So, what if a government does not follow the blueprint? That should not be an option. Every government should be bound to implement the national development blueprint. Okay, but what if they don't? Any president who shifts away from the development blueprint in any way or form should be liable for impeachment by parliament. The State Council should ensure that. So, how can we ensure that the blueprint is executed to the letter and that the people are not shortchanged during the implementation of the blueprint? That is easy. The blueprint should have standards that must be met. I see. So, Grandpa, the performance of the government would be measured against those standards. That's fine. But who will monitor the actual performance against the standards? We have said that already. Monitoring will be the responsibility of the NDPC and should be carried out under the strict supervision of the State Council. Great. Grandpa, it seems good to me so far. But what happens if the performance of a government or the president falls below the set standards? They've always gotten away with it, haven't they? Not anymore. Remember, we are talking about improving our democracy. Not anymore. How will we ensure that a government or a president performs according to the standards set in the development blueprint? The State Council will ensure that. How, Grandpa? How? To ensure that our governments perform to the set standards, the State Council should have the power to recommend the prosecution of the president or any member of his government who is found to have been negligent or wasteful. It sounds like the law on causing financial loss to the state. Exactly, my son. The law on willfully causing financial loss to the state should be prosecuted by the State Council through an independent public prosecutor. That appears rather stringent, Papa. Maybe, but it is nothing when compared to the damage done to this economy from corruption, poor judgment, political impunity, and unnecessary brinkmanship. And you count the number of families whose livelihoods have been destroyed through the mismanagement of our economy. And you, my son. Fair enough, Grandpa. Now, you've made some serious points about politicians and political parties and the national economy. Your main point is that they should not allow political parties to exclusively run the development of this nation. We want the state to take center stage and through the NDPC take over the planning and monitoring the nation's development. You also say that political parties and politicians should only be implementers for development plans. That sounds very good. But Grandpa, will our people embrace these ideas? My answer to that, my son, is a question. And it's simple. If we allow our political parties and politicians to run the economy the way they have done over the past 30 or so years, how long will it take this nation to achieve any meaningful level of development? That's a fair question, and it's very loaded. Please allow me to repeat it. If we allow our politicians and political parties to run the economy the way they have for the past 30 or so years, how long will it take this nation to achieve any meaningful level of development? Grandpa, I fear that, like the pregnant woman in your story, our economy may die prematurely unless we are willing to make serious changes to our governance system. we, the ordinary people, must agitate and fight for serious changes to happen in our governance system. After all, we are the ones who suffer the most when our economy is mismanaged, and we are in the majority. This marks the end of part 5. Stay tuned for part 6, titled In the Wings. Thanks for listening.